Cambridge Breakfast with Julian Clover and Lucy Malazzo.
Cambridge 105 Radio.
8:32, we have a new dinky door in town. We have no idea where it is. Will Dinky and Dorky tell us? They are on the line this morning. Morning.
Good morning.
Morning.
Good morning, Dinky Door. I'm so excited to speak to you, actually.
So describe the door to us, then.
Oh, gosh, describe the door. Well, if you hadn't been looking for it, you might not have noticed that it's been there forever. At least it's been there for a very, very long time. If you go looking at the oldest bookshop in Cambridge, possibly in the UK, you might find it somewhere nearby.
So how does it work then? Oh, sorry, go on.
Well, and I guess the thing is, the books, as you probably don't know because everyone has forgotten, have been grown. Everyone believes that books are written, but that's kind of fake news. So there's an old, skill set, an old art of growing books. And so we've got a potting shed there of a mage that grows book.
Now, this is intriguing. So is this the sort of thing that maybe Lucy could set up on her balcony and grow a few books there as well?
Yeah, absolutely. I think anyone can grow books. I mean, nowadays it's a bit sad because most of them are just grown mass production in the Amazon. But I think you can, if you've got the skill set, I mean, if you go and have a chat to the book mage, the resident book mage at this at the latest Dinky Door, they might be able to teach you a few tricks about how to grow books.
So what happens when a new Dinky Door appears or is discovered after 100 years, however long it might have been there for? Do you get an invitation from somebody to bring it to people's attention, or do you just go in, pick a site that you think might work, and off you go?
Yeah, so essentially, if you know the Dinky Door's wider backstory, we're actually trying to help a mysterious entity called the Supreme Leader, who's asking for our help to try and make the world a little bit more delightful and a little bit more, a bit less miserable, like given the state of the news and things. And essentially, with this particular door, they asked us to seek out this book mage to try and, I guess they needed some help. They needed some help because they might be lost in time, space, Cambridge traffic. I don't know. They really needed to, a little bit of help, like in guidance in some way.
Yeah, the Supreme Leader usually talk to us to, figure out the doors. But then last time they were around, we suspect they got a bit of an encounter with Chief Mischief.
Arch nemesis.
Oh, the arch nemesis, right? Yeah,
yes. Yeah. And then they kind of disappear. So we've been trying to find them since then. And the last attempt, we made them a little rocket to go back to their home. And it looks like they are lost. So they can't use it because they don't exactly know their way back. So hence, they ask us to find out maybe some sort of literature to help them out.
Got it.
This kind of all makes sense now.
It's a very simple story, I think you'll agree.
Definitely so. Somebody should write and grow a book about it. How many Dinky Doors do we have altogether now, then?
Oh, there's currently 13. Hopefully it's not too unlucky, but yeah, we've got 13 that people can go and find right at the moment.
How long does it take you to sort of like create them?
It does rather depend. I mean, like some of them.
Which one was the one that took the most time?
It's actually this latest one.
Ah.
Probably taken us, I don't know, three months, maybe even a bit longer than that.
Three months.
I mean, I think the things that people don't always appreciate are the, we have to make them now so that they're very, very strong and robust.
Yeah, because you had a horrible little incident, didn't you? Was it last summer, the one that was put on Mill Road?
Yeah, so that one, this is where we first discovered the Supreme Leader's arch nemesis.
Yeah.
Chief Mischief, who came and removed it with a ray gun. So, yeah, it's... that they do take a long time to make, and they're very fiddly. Everything is welded out of stainless steel nowadays so that they don't rust and that they're strong enough to withstand, you know, kind of enthusiastic attention from the little fingers that like to play with them.
And we also, I think this is the first one that you were actually asked to create one. It was for one of the residential streets, again, just off Mill Road. I can't quite remember.
Yeah, so that was a lovely thing.
How did that all come about? I mean, are you open for business? If people want their own dinky door, are you like open to saying, yeah, sure, this is what we do now?
So sort of. Mm. I mean, I think we get an awful lot of requests for people, you know, asking us for a dinky door for their front garden or something like that. And whilst we'd love to, you know, we just don't have the time, yeah, or I don't think they would, people would almost be prepared to pay the amount of money that it would actually take in time. I think the door on Sedgwick Street was a little bit different.
Yeah, so I think as Dorky said, they take a lot of time to build. So if you just think about paying for the time, I think it'd be just like too much for people to pay them. We have got cases where, yeah, like in the Sedgwick Street, people have tallied together to help us, having a fund to build the dinky doors, and that's how it came about.
And I think this one was also slightly different in that it was a community coming together. So yeah, it was the residents down the street all essentially saying, wouldn't it be lovely if we had a dinky door? And for us, that's almost like our mission. Like, you know, if we can get people to come together, you know, have a shared experience, you know, do things that bring communities together, like a bit of community glue.
Yeah.
You know, that's very much like, you know, about saving the world and making people talk to each other and just have a, you know, it's slightly different from, I don't know, if we had a somebody who comes along and all they wanted to do is to drive footfall to their business or something,
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, absolutely. Understand. So you've got 13 dinky doors out,
yes,
there. Which ones, you know, are you, maybe it's not right to have a favourite, it's like having a favourite child, but I don't know, is there one there that was the most fun or a favourite, basically?
Oh, no, that's...
Is it too...
for us... I guess we always try and pour our heart into the very latest one, and we always try and make the latest one as good as we can. So, but we know, I mean, we ask people, or our favourite activity is we kind of just lurk near a dinky door, and because we're anonymous,
oh, of course,
we can just overhear conversations and we can find out, like, you know, whether people have discovered them all or which is their favourite. And yeah, people have lots of different reasons for liking some of them. And often it's surprising to us because they're maybe some of the older ones that we thought, you know, or maybe people would like the newer ones now, but actually, you know, there's a lot of love for some of the older ones too.
Because you've just given an upgrade, haven't you, to the one at Reality Checkpoint?
Yes. Yeah, so again, like it's a bit of a constant battle. When we first started, I guess they were always meant to be slightly ephemeral, and we didn't really anticipate that they would last, and so they were made out of, you know, wood and sometimes even just, you know, clay and tin foil and things like that, and the very early ones, they're just, you know, they're succumbing to the weather, and they become a little bit easier to damage as a result. So we're going through gradually replacing all of them to like modern, you know, dinky door standards that are, you know, stainless steel and robust, and they should withstand the weather.
And I guess this one was also interesting because it always had a feature that it lights up,
yeah,
when you're moving the needles, but with the weather, it kind of stopped really quickly. So the new one, like being refurbished, works like a charm now.
Yeah.
So actually, that's just made me think. So you put the new one in, and then there was a slight fault with it. So you've had to just make sure that it works. So that's just made me think. You're anonymous. There's always people out and about. What is your? I mean, don't tell us all your secrets, but how do you go about installing the latest dinky door without being caught and found out who you are?
You know, it's kind of scary, but if you. You'd be amazed what people don't notice. So yeah, we won't reveal all of our secrets, but basically.
So do you do it in plain sight? That is scary.
Well, if you're going to drill somewhere, I think you're going to drive more attention if you do it in the middle of the night than if you do it in the middle of the day.
Oh.
Interesting. But now, there is a trail, isn't there? I know if you go to the Dinky Doors website, you can sort of plot out where they all are and perhaps go for a walk and try and take most of them in one go.
I've got visions of you now, because they always say, if you want to get away with something in broad daylight, look as if you belong. So you're out there with a clipboard and like a high vis and a helmet and no one asks you what you're doing. So I'll keep my eyes peeled.
Well, guys, thank you very much. But Dinky and Dorky, thank you for joining us this morning on Cambridge Breakfast. And we urge everyone to go and hunt out the new Dinky Door. Thanks very much.
Thank you so much.
Check the tour. When the day's getting better, you'll have a lot of fun with it.
Definitely. I was going to say, thank you so much for chatting to us this morning, but also just thank you so much for what you do, because it really does bring a massive smile to so many people's faces in Cambridge, people who live here and tourists alike. So thank you.
Oh, it's our pleasure. Thank you very much.
Cheers. Thank you, Fireworks.
Cambridge 105 Radio.